All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Good morning. Let us begin. Sorry about that. Okay, good morning. We'll say a great tzchus Baruch Hashem to begin a new week together. Thank you to our Richter for giving shir over the last couple of days. Let us begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning shir. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Cheshvan. Habalim Lotova, Steve and Terry Zinn for dedicating all of Shomer Drashos this month in loving memory of Steve's father, Bunim Tzvi Ben Chaim Zichron Debracha, and our Dafyomi sponsors, Ayal and Sarah Steinberg, in the schos of continued health for Shulamis Chana Bas Susha, and for an enduring and continued Refuah Shalem. We hope that she, together with Kol Chol Deis, will have a complete and enduring Refuah. Then all of the Nesham, Shtab, and Aliyah, the families in Nechama, and the Meretz Shem Chodesh Baruch Hu, continue to shower Besoros Tovos upon all of Klal Yisrael. But with that, let us begin. We have a lot to do today. Today's daf is Samech Dalet 64, and we are picking up on Samech Dalet Amad Aleph at the two dots. Three lines down from the top. Shlosha Dvarim. So, Rosh, if you remember again, the Mishnah said, this was the Mishnah on the top of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, 63a. So the Mishnah spoke about the idea that there are three things. Shlosha Dvarim Haisa, Osek Her Mishameshes, Milamato, Shlosha Milamalo. There are three things on the southwest corner that were done. I should say the south, right, southwest corner of the Mizbeah. Three things that were done above the Chut HaSikra, three things that were done above the red line, three things that were done below the red line. So the Rashi to the Mishnah said, Milamata, Chata Sa'of, Hagashas Shiari Hadam. So again, below the red line was Chata Sa'of, the bird Chatas, Hagashas, which means the ringing of the Mincha, the Kmitz of the Mincha, and Shiari Hadam, and the spilling out of the leftover blood, Umilamalon, and above the Chut HaSikra, above the red line, Misuch Hayayin, wine libation, Mayim, wine libation, va'ola sa'of, and the bird, and the bird ola. Okay, so now the Gemara is picking up on this. And I'm also remember again, we're speaking about this southwest corner. Just remember again, that's this corner over here, right? Southwest corner. Good. So now the Gemara says as follows. Shlosha Dvarim. Chata sa'of ha'dam. So now the Mishnah is just going through these three. So chata sa'of, that was in yesterday's daf. Hagoshos. How do we know about the bringing of the leftover, the not the leftover, but the kmitza of the mincha, dichsiv, vehigisha al panea mizbeach, shiare hadam, leftover blood, dichsiv, veskol hadam hapar yishboch al yisod hamizbeach. Okay, so the Gemara therefore quotes these three psukim, ultimately again highlighting these three items. Next, milamala, nisoch hamayim, vahayayin, vaola sa'of, Kishirab Mizrach. So we'll say there's a couple of interesting things over here. Now remember, the next three items were offered up above, or I should say were done on the upper part of the southwest corner. And what was that? Nisuch HaMayim, which was the pouring of the water. So again, I'm sure Rabbi Richter covered this in Mishnah. But Nisuch HaMayim, of course, is done on Sukkis, a very unique and specific type of water libation, only done once a year. Nisuch HaMayim is a wine libation which accompanies many karbanos. And Olas Ha'of, the bird Ola. Now again, we're going to speak more about the bird. We started already in the bird offerings. Last Mishnah, we'll continue into the next Mishnah as well. Olas Ha'of Kishi Rabbah Mizrach. Now this last part is very interesting. When is the Olas Ha'of offered up on the southwest corner? So the Lashon of the Mishnah is Kishi Rabbah B'Mizrach, which means ultimately, again, when there's too much stuff going on in the southeast corner, we move things over to the southwest corner. So just to understand, just to appreciate this for just a moment. Right, so remember again, the Mishnah says that we're doing Olas Ha'of in the southwest corner. When do we do, ultimately, again, Olas Ha'of in the southwest corner? When there's too much going on in the southeast corner. So which is interesting. So in other words, normally, you'd want to be doing Olas Ha'of by the southeast corner. But if it's too crowded, ultimately we'll move it over to the southwest corner. Says the Gemara, my timer. What? Why is that? So in other words, just to follow this, why do we say l'chatchila, Ola Sa'of, the bird Ola, should be done in the southeast corner? Right? Because remember, from the fact that the Mishnah says that we do Ola Sa'of in the southwest corner, when there's too much happening in the southeast corner, would indicate to us that the ideal location for Olas Ha'of is southeast corner. So why is that? Why is this the ideal location? So Rabbi, this is very interesting. My timer. So Rabbi Yochanan says, "Bipnei shekrova mi beis hadeshen." Ultimately, again, because it's much closer to the beis hadeshen. So Rabbi says, now, interestingly enough, now, what does that mean exactly? So beis hadeshen. So remember, again, Rabbi says, one of the first avodas that was done in the beis hamikdash every single morning was something called Trumas Hadeshen. So what would happen? So if you take a look, by the way, at Rashi for just a moment, Mibes Hadeshen, it's Rashi in the about five lines up from before it gets wide. Before the intermediate wide lines. Mibes Hadeshen, Makom Shenostin Sham Bechol Boker Trumas Hadeshen Shekasuv Bo V'Samo Eitzal Hamizbeah V'Hu B'Mizracho Shel Kevesh Uksiv Gavi Morav V'Notzal. Okay, so we'll say now watch this. First thing according we do every single morning is he would come up, follow my pointer over here. He would come up on the Mizbeach, right? And what he would do is he would take ash. We're gonna be more specific about this in just a moment. I just want to give you the general layout. I know, we'll say I apologize. I know not everybody can see this. He comes up from Mizbeach, he's gonna take ash. After he takes ash, he comes back down the ramp and he deposits it right here. This is called the Beis Hadeshen. This is where he would take, now he's only taking some of the residual ash. He's putting it over here on the Beis Hadeshen. Now what does that have to do with anything? Because the Torah says that when the Kohen dismembers the bird Ola, he takes, we're going to see, the feathers and the crop and throws it by the Beis Hadeshen. Okay, so now again, so remember, first thing in the morning is coming up the ramp, taking some ash, coming back down, and putting it in this area over here, which you can see is in the southeast, really right, the east side of the Mizbeah, southeast orientation. Good, and then the Torah says when it seeks out the bird Ola, he will take the sacrificial parts and he will throw it by the Beis Hadeshen. So because of that, the Gemara says, because anyway, the bird parts have to be thrown by the Beis Hadeshen, it makes sense that where would the bird Ola normally be done?
Southeast.
Because that's much closer. Obviously, if there's a lot going on in the southeast, he'll move over to the southwest. But because the bird parts have to end up over here, it makes more sense for him to be in the southeast corner, not in the southwest corner. Okay, now let's see it inside. So the Gemara says, here we go. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll see a very beautiful Gemara. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Bo urei kama gadol kocha shel kohanim. See how strong kohanim are. Why? She'in lecha kal ba'ofos yoser mimora v'notza. Because we'll say, obviously, the lightest part of the bird. Now, again, remember, we're going to see like a bird, the sacrificial parts of the bird are the mora and the notza. The mora is the crop. The crop, Rabbi will say, by the way, is like a... it's a pouch. It's a digestive pouch of a bird. What a bird does is, a bird is able to store foods. What it's able to do is ingest a tremendous amount of food, food, and then it digests it gradually. So the crop is like the stomach, but it's not down here, it's up here, right? Where the bird is able to store everything and then digest it gradually. So the lightest part of the bird is the mora and the notes on the feathers. So those are the parts that are thrown by the Beis Hadeshen. Pamim, listen to this, Pamim, Shakoin Zarkon Yoser, and sometimes the Kohen has to throw it more than 30 amas. I will say, and I remember again, it takes more strength to throw a light item far than it does to take a heavier item, right? Because it's hard. If something is light, it's very hard to throw it a distance. So the Gemara says, see how strong the Kohanim are, because the Kohanim sometimes have to throw the mora and the notza, the crop and the feathers of the bird, more than 30 amas. Now, where do you get that from? So watch this. This nun. So listen to this. Natal machta shel kesef va'ala l'rosh hamizbeach. So this is actually a very beautiful, beautiful Gemara. Rashi, the Gemara is quoting over here from Maseches Yuma and Maseches Tamid. So what would happen? This is the first thing in the morning. The Kohen would go ahead and he would walk up the ramp with a machta shel kesef. Literally, a machta is literally like a shovel. But really it means like a pan shovel made of silver. Va'ala l'rosh hamizbeach. He would go up to the top of the mizbeach. Upinas hagichalim eilach ve'eilach. And he would move the coals, to two sides. V'chita min ha-ma'acholas ha-panimiyos. And he would take from the hottest coals, or from the hottest ashes, the yored v'hegia l'ritzpa. And he would then come back down to the floor. Machzir panav klapet safan. V'holech l'mizracho shal keder. So we'll just want to show you what just happened over here. The Gemara over here is describing ultimately again the Trumas Hadashen. So okay, so watch what the Gemara just described. I'm going to show it to you on here. He would come up the ramp, and what would he do? He would come to the ash pile, and he would move the ashes on the side, and he would take from the hottest ashes. That's what he's taking with his shovel. He would come back down the ramp. Now, if you look at the Lashon of the Mishnah says, then he would turn northward. Why does it say he's turning northward? Because when he comes down the ramp, then where is he going? North. Remember again, this orientation, north is down. He would go north on the eastern side of the Mizbeach. And remember again, we know where he's going. He's going over here to this place called the Beis Hadeshen. And what would happen? He would face towards the north. And he would come to the eastern side of the ramp. What at Ke'eser Amos. He would walk approximately 10 Amos. So 10 Amos, just so you understand. So here's the Beis Hadeshen. Here's the place where they would deposit the ash. He would come off the ramp. Now turn northward, going in the northern direction on the eastern side of the ramp. Walk 10 Amos down. Tzavra Sagichol Magabe Aritzpa. Rachok mina kevesh shlosha tfachim. And he would go ahead and he would place the coals, right, the ashes, then down on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, approximately 3 tfachim away from the Mizbeach. That's the distance over there, 3 tfachim away from the Mizbeach. Makom shenostin mora'a v'notza v'dishon ha-Mizbeach ha-Panimi v'ha-Menorah. And Rabbi said, just understand, what was deposited here in this Beis HaDashen? So what was deposited here is the morning ash, right? The morning ash that come from the top of the Mizbeach. There were also other ashes. Remember, we'll say, every morning, the coin would also go into the Heichal, right? I don't think you see this. Go into the Heichal. He would clean out the Mizbeach HaKetores, right? The incense altar, which also had ash. He would clean out the menorah, which would also have ash. He would bring these items out, walk around the Mizbeach, come deposit it over here. So in this place called the Beis HaDashen, which was on what we'll call the southeastern side of the Mizbeach, in a northward orientation, he would deposit the ash from the top of the, some of the ash from the top of the Mizbeach, ash from the Mizbeach towards the incense altar, ash from the menorah, and not only that, what else would be placed there? Furthermore, and that's where Makom Shenostin Mora Vinotza. That's also where he would place, again, the parts of the bird that were discarded, right? The crop and the feathers of the bird. The bird Ola. So the Gemara says, right, Ola Sa'of. That's where he deposited, right? Vinotza Vidisho Vizach Bnim Vamenorah. So now, interestingly enough, so the Gemara says sometimes, so that you could see the strength of the coin, because what did he have to do? Sometimes the coin would have to throw it 30 amos. Now, when would he have to throw it 30 amos? When would that be required? Because most of thinking about it, if, remember, again, there was too much going on in the southeastern corner, where would the Ola be done? Where would the bird Ola be done? Southwest. So Rashi does the math, so we don't have to do it. We could just take his word for it. So we'll say, so if you take the diagonal over here, it's, now, the Gemara says it's 30 amos. I will say, in reality, it's actually more than 30 amos. It's actually 32 amos from here to here. So we'll get to that in just a moment. But the point really the Gemara is making is that sometimes the Kohen would have to go ahead and throw the crop and the feathers from here all the way to here. So see again how strong the Kohanim must have been to be able to throw it again from the southwestern corner all the way to the Beis HaDashen. So it says the Gemara, one second. Hani tfei mitlasim. Hani tfei mitlasim v'chad habyon. So one second. But it's not true. It's more than 30. It's more than 30. So why does the Gemara say it's 30? To which, in reality, it's actually 31. To which the Gemara says, Makom Gavri lo chashiv. You're right. In other words, the Gemara is not counting the actual space that the coin himself occupied. So when you look at the amount of space between the coin himself and the Beis HaDashen, that would have been 30 amos. Incredible. So I will say, so again, the takeaway from here is just to understand, just procedurally, we're focusing now on the bird offerings. So halacha l'maaseh, again, bird offering ideally done southeast corner. If there's too much happening, happening here, it goes to the southwest corner. Understand that after Shechita or Malika, which we'll discuss, the crop and the feathers were placed on the base Hadeshen, which is this deposit, right? This deposit area over here on the southeast side of the Mizbeach, situated 10 amos forward from the edge of the ramp, 3 amos from the side of the Mizbeach. What was placed here? Trumas Hadeshen from the morning ash from the Mizbeach, ash from the interior Mizbeach, ash from the interior menorah, and the crop and the feathers of the bird Ola. Incredible, incredible. Let's go back there. Kala Ola Mizbeach. So what was I say? So next. Now remember, in general, the Mishnah said like this. The Mishnah espoused another rule. The Mishnah said, in general, whenever you go up on the Mizbeach, right? Whenever the Kohen goes on the Mizbeach, so what happens? Kala Ola Mizbeach. Olin derech yamin. Supposed to remember again, how does the Mizbeach work? So in general, remember again, what's our rule? Mishnah said, what's the rule? Whenever you go somewhere, or right, whenever you're turning somewhere, right, you always turn right. So remember again, you come up the ramp. What that means is whenever you're coming up the ramp, you would go and you would turn right. You would turn right. So remember again, the coin, depending on what the avoda was, depends on whether or not you're standing on the ground of the Beis HaMikdash or you're taking a sove, that ledge. But normally what you would do is you would come up this ramp, Kohen would hang a right, start with the southeastern corner, and make his way around. The Mishnah then says there were 3 exceptions to this rule. What were the 3 exceptions to this rule? Chutz mina ola, the ola legimel elu. With the exception, ultimately, again, for the Kohen who's coming up to do these 3 things. What are the 3 things that we're referring to? Nisuch hamayim, right? Wine, or water, or I should say, nisuch hayayim, wine libations, water libation, and olas ha'of. Those are the 3 exceptions. Now, we'll say, now, why? What happens with those 3? All 3 of those things are done on the southwest corner. So what would happen is, this is very interesting. This is the only time this would happen in the Beis HaMikdash. Kohen would come up, right? Come right up to the southwest corner, do his thing. Nisuch hamayim, nisuch hayayin, ol asa'ov. Come right back down. There was no hakafa. There was no circling of zech. Come up to the southwest corner, do what you have to do, come right back down afterwards. So says the Gemara. My time up. So why is that? Why is that exactly that he would not do the circling of the Mizbeach? He would just do his thing and come right back down afterwards. It's very interesting. Rabbi Yochanan, Nisachim Kadesh Lois Ashnu. So by the libations, so that they should not become smoky. Right? In other words, that the issue over here is that both the water and the wine could absorb some of the smoke smell or some of this, right? And therefore, it goes some of the smoke flavor. And apparently, that would go ahead and invalidate them. And what we're saying about the Ola Sa'of is that if you take the bird, right, and you do the entire, like, hakafa, you circle the Mizbeach, the bird itself could die from smoke inhalation, which is fascinating, by the way. It tells you just apparently the amount of smoke that was there. I mean, I guess you weren't worried about the Kohen, right? But Lamaisa worried about the bird, right? We're about the bird smoke inhalation. And therefore, again, obviously, if the bird, we need the bird to die from Malika, not from smoke inhalation. But also, when the Kohen comes to circle the Mizbeach, from where does he begin? Mikaren Dromis Mizrachis. So again, general, whenever you go up the Mizbeach, you start from the southwest corner. After the southwest corner, then Mizrachis Tzifonis. You go to ultimately the northeast corner. Then Tzifonis Ma'aravis, northwest corner, and then Ma'aravis Dromis, southeast corner. So we'll say, that's what we've been describing this entire time. You start again from southeast and make your way around counterclockwise. Now listen to this. Now let me give you a little bit of context over here, because it's actually a very beautiful Gemara. If you look at Rashi, Rashi is 4 lines up from the bottom. Balo lahakif, Rashi says, Mishnah hi b'meseches tamid. See, the Gemara is quoting a Mishnah from Meseches Tamid. What does the Mishnah say? Gabi koin gadol, she'eno kishar kohanim, lezachos lebepayis la'avoda achos, elo, Oved begomer bechol chafetz. Okay, some sechus yom. Supposed to listen to this. Kohen gadol makriv chelik barosh. Amar olaz. I'm just going to read this. Amar olazu ani makriv bizman shu. Supposed to. Okay, let me say this outside. way it worked, generally by Kohanim, is that there was a pious, there was a lottery, right? Because there's a lot of Kohanim, and again, there's a finite amount of avoda to be done. Now, one man always had the right to exercise prerogative to do the avoda, and that was the Kohen Gadol. So Kohen Gadol could roll into the Beis HaMikdash, and he could say, I'm doing this, and that's his prerogative to do so, which is pretty incredible. So now, that's where this Gemara is picking up. So let's say Cohen rolls in, and he says, I'm going to offer up this Ola. So I both say, so the way that the Mishnah makes it sound like over here is that what happens? Cohen Gadol comes up, and again, he does his Hakafas. He comes up, hangs the right, starts with the southeast corner, and then makes his way counterclockwise, and when he gets to the southwest corner, that's where he does the wine libation. Southwest corner wine libation. Now, when you read this Mishnah, it makes it sound like he's carrying the wine with him as he goes around the Mizbeach. Now, that obviously contradicts what we just said before, because before we just said, where is wine libation done? Let's get this clear. Where is wine libation done? Southwest corner. But wine libation is the exception to the rule. Where does he go? He comes up the Mizbeach, and where does he go? Right to the southwest corner. Why? Why? We don't want the wine absorbing any smoke smell as he goes around. So that contradicts what we just said before. Because here we're saying, go up to the southwest corner, do your thing, go back down. Here it sounds like he's going around the Mizbeach, holding the wine, and then does it at the southwest corner. To which the Gemara says, Menos l'alayin nasech. Last line, Rabbi Yochanan said, we'll say, Amud Beis 64b. Rabbi Yochanan, wow. That looks longer this morning than it did last night. All right, so what happened? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, Hakafa beregel. So no, what it means is like this. The Kohen Gadol would in fact circle the Mizbeach, but he was not holding the wine. Rather, what would happen? They would give him the wine when he reached the southwest corner. So interesting enough, so he did the Hakafa. He did, right? He walked around the Mizbeach, but not with the wine. They would hand him the wine. Dafko, when he reached the southwest corner. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Hakafa b'regel, Vein hayayin biyado. Ultimately, again, the wine was not in his hand. Ula mitzvah ba'alma. And so, one second. So, I don't understand. So, if he's coming up to do a wine libation, and the wine libation has to be done at the southwest corner, so why is he walking around the whole Mizbeach? What's going on over here? So, Rashi says, it's a mitzvah. Pivnei shakala odin l'shad devarim, ponin liyamin, umakifin, v'zela akter ola l'fichach, makif, uba l'mokum shemach, nisin sham, v'nosin lo yayin l'naseich, aval shar kohanim, shezocha b'nesachim b'fayis, lo zocha l'avoda acheres. So it says, interestingly enough, this was apparently unique by the Kohen Gadol. Because since the Kohen Gadol could do whatever he wanted when he came into the Beis HaMikdash, he could even be doing multiple avodos, which means that he could be going up to on the Mizbeach to do multiple things. For other Kohanim, generally, again, you were only designated one avoda. So therefore, again, if you were the Kohen doing the wine libations, ultimately, again, you would come up the ramp, come to the southwest corner, do your libation, and you were done. But the Kohen Gadol, who himself may be coming up for other things, would come up, start at the southeast corner, make his way around, but again, would not carry the wine with him as he made his rounds around the Mizbeach, but ultimately, again, would only receive the wine when he got to the southwest corner. Amar Rava, so again, just want to point out, there's no contradiction. So that's which the Mishnah said, which is that halacha l'maisa, so wine libation was done in the southwest corner, and again, the Kohen would come right up to the southwest corner, would not walk around the Mizbeach, do the libation, and come right back down. Amar Rava, only exception to this rule, Kohen Gadol, Amrava dekanami diktani, nosnin lo yayin lenasech. And again, in fact, you can even look at the Lashon of the Mishnah. The Lashon of the Mishnah was, they would give the Kohen Gadol the wine to do the libation, which indicates to us that even as he was walking around the Mizbeach, he would not be holding the wine with him, but rather would only receive the wine when he reached the southwest corner. Incredible. So again, I'm Rav Daniel and Tani, Nostin lo yayin l'naseich, velo katani omer lo naseich. And again, I'm going to say, that's the Lashon Mishnah. The Lashon Mishnah is they would give him the wine to do the libation when he got to the southwest corner. Shema mina. Again, I'm going to say, so therefore, Allah Almighty says, just to understand, so just to reinforce this point, wine libation done on the southwest corner, but as opposed to other things which were done at the southwest corner, where the Kohen would arrive there by again hanging a right and going counterclockwise on the Mizbeach, for the one libation, Kohen would come right up on the side of the Mizbeach, come right to the southwest corner, do the libation. Why? We don't want the wine to absorb any of the smoke flavor. Tan Rabbanon, call the Olam Mizbeach, Olam Derech Yamin, the Yardin Derech Smol. I will say, in general, whenever you would come up the Mizbeach, so what would you do? This is the rule that we said before. What would you do? You would hang a right. Right? The Kohen would come up the Mizbeach, and again, he would hang a right, and then he would come down on the left side of the Mizbeach. Good. So the Gemara says, Olden Derech V'yarden Derech Smol. Olden Derech Mizrach V'yarden Derech Marav. And again, so they would come up on the eastern side, right, and come down on the west. Because remember, again, you're coming up on this side of the Mizbeach, which is towards the east, and then come down on the western side of the Mizbeach. Chutz mina ola l'shlosha dvar malalu. With the exception of the Kohen who is coming up for these three things. Again, what are the three things? Nisoch hayayin, wine libations, nisoch hamayim, water libations, and olas ha'of. That for these people, sha'olin derech mayrev, the yardin derech mayrev. They would come up on the western side and go down the western side. So both says, so remember again, this is the western side of the Mizbeach. Right? They come up on the western side, do your thing at the southwest corner, and then come down on the western side. Olin derech yamin, the yardin derech yamin. They would go up on the right side and go down on the right side. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Derech Yamin, what do you mean they'd go up on the right side? We'll say it's contradictory. They're not going up on the right side, they're going up on the left side of the Mizbeach, right? Remember again, I'll both say, we're assuming over here too about the coins left and right. So therefore, again, remember, if you tell me they're going up on the western side of the Mizbeach, this is the coins left, not the coins right. So what's going on over here? Amravina, Tanis, I'm sorry, good. Derech Yamin, Derech Smol. Amravina, Tani, Smol. Ravina says, you're right, I'm sorry. Just change it. Change it. It means he goes up on the left side and comes down on the left side. Rava Amar, no. My Yamin, Yamin de Mizbeach. When it says right is referring to the right of the Mizbeach. Umay small de Gavra. When it's supposed to say, okay, now this is a bit confusing. When it says the right, it's referring ultimately again to the right of the Mizbeach. Now I will say now why. Because this is very interesting. From the Mizbeach's perspective, the Mizbeach faces south. Because the Mizbeach is facing south, so therefore, again, we look at it from this direction, from literally, again, north facing south, which means that this is considered to be the right side. For the Kohen going up, right, ascending the Mizbeach, this is considered to be the left side. So from a Mizbeach orientation, right, if you look at the Mizbeach oriented southward, then this is the right. You look at from the Kohen's perspective, going up, this is the left. That's why it calls it the left and the right. To which the Gemara says, come on. Well, not a direct quote, yeah. Right? Benisni o idi v'idi de Mizbeach, o idi v'idi de Gavra. Why in a million years are you coordinating this? In other words, choose an orientation. Choose an orientation. Either look at it from the orientation of the Mizbeach, or look at it from the orientation of the Kohen. But for God's sake, don't do it both, because that's incredibly confusing. To which the Gemara says, Kasha, you're right. That is a little bit confusing. We're not sure why exactly the Gemara chose to phrase it that way. Okay, but I will say, but again, bottom line for us to take away, because again, we're getting some good, solid karbonic information over here. So remember again, in general, the Mishnah told us, the rule was, when you go up to the Mizbeach, you always hang a right, and you make your way around counterclockwise the Mizbeach, end up by the southwest corner. Three exceptions, Nisoch Hamayim, Nisoch Hayayin, Olas Ha'of, where we are afraid that if you go ahead and you do this, it's going to get smoke-logged or smoke-scented. So therefore, what does the Kohen do? Come right up on what we'll call either the western side, or we're just going to keep it simple, or the left side from the Kohen's orientation, the left side of the Mizbeach, do Nisoch HaMayim, Nisoch HaYayin, Olas HaOf on the southwest corner, come back down and be done. Now, boss, and I have one more piece of information. For Olas HaOf, remember again, the mor and the notza, the crop and the feathers, were placed where? Beis HaDeshen, right? Now, remember again, that's why ideally, where was the Olas HaOf done? Southeast corner. Only if there's too much going on over here do you move it to the southwest corner, and then the Kohen would literally again throw the crop and the feathers over to here. What else is going on in the Beis HaDeshen? Ash from here in the morning, Trumas HaDeshen. Ash from Mizbeach HaKitores, Mizbeach HaZov. Ash from the menorah, all placed on the same place. Beautiful. Okay, but I'll say next. That up until now was Ola's Ha'of, the bird Ola. Now we're transitioning to another bird offering, Chatas Ha'of. A bird chatas. So the Gemara says, what happens to the bird chatas? Ketzad hayanasis. So how was the chatas ha'os done? So the Gemara says, listen to this. Hayamolek, save the parentheses for now. Hayamolek es rosha mimul arpa ve'ino mavdil. So we'll say, so remember again, bird carbonos were not shechted. Instead, what happened with bird carbonos? They had malika done. Now again, we'll discuss the process for Malika in just a little bit. So Hayamolik, so listen to the Lash. Hayamolik es roshami mularpa. So literally again, he would do Malika on its head, mimul arpa, from the back of its neck. So we'll say, again, we'll get into the exact process of Malika, but the idea was the bird was slaughtered from the back of its neck, not from the front. Ve'eno mavdil. But you do not go ahead and totally remove the head from its neck. Now, what does this mean? If you look at Rashi, this is first Rashi in the Mishnah. Rashi in the Mishnah, Ve'eno Mavdil, Harosh min aguf ela simen echel levado mole, kidichsev ba umalak es rosho mimul arpo. So, we'll say, according to Rashi, what this means is as follows. Generally, we'll say, by shechita, let's say by shechita of an animal, you have to shecht two simonim, right? The windpipe and the esophagus. According to Rashi, by Malika, you only have to cut one of them. You only have to cut one. Right, so that's what it means when it says, Eno Mavdil means you do not sever both Simanim, rather only one of them. Eno Mavdil, okay? So therefore, again, I'm going to say what this means is one of the, either the windpipe or the esophagus is severed, which means the head is still attached. That is still attached. Again, we'll get into this more. Ve'umaze midama al kira mizbeach. And again, you sprinkle from the blood of the bird onto the mizbeach itself. So remember again, we saw this already, that as opposed to an animal sacrifice, where after shechita, blood is collected in a kli shares, a process we call kabbalah, and then the blood is taken from the kli and sprinkled on the mizbeach. By a bird offering, the blood is actually sprinkled from the body of the bird itself. So that's how you're actually taking the bird and sprinkling the blood on the mizbeach. First white line on 64b. Umaze midamal kiyar mizbeach, and you go ahead and you sprinkle the blood on the wall of the mizbeach. And what's it, by the way, which also sounds like over here, that where is the bird, where is chatas of taking place? Where is it taking place? Sounds like it's taking place on the ground, right? On the ground, because remember again, where is the blood being placed? Al kira mizbeach, on the wall of the mizbeach. So just hold on to all this information. Okay, so again, no kabbalah, no receiving the blood in a kli. Instead, again, the blood is actually sprinkled from the body of the bird itself. Shiari hadam, hayim mismatze al yisod. So ultimately, again, any residual blood. So after the blood applications take place, any residual blood ultimately, again, is placed on the base of the mizbeach, the yisod. Then, le mizbeach el adama v'kula kohanim. And the only part of the bird offering that actually goes on the mizbeach is what? Is the blood. There's no other sacrificial part. So remember again, this stands in contradistinction to what? To the olas ha'of, where again, the crop and the feathers were placed on the base hadeshen. By chatas ha'of, the only thing that is placed on the mizbeach is the blood. And then what happens to the rest of the bird? Belongs to the Kohanim. Right? The Kohanim get to eat it. They get to have it. They in the mizbeach al adama, the kolakam. Everything else goes to Kohanim. Which I'll both say, by the way, is actually quite interesting because it sounds like the Kohanim can eat the bird, right? Even though what? Right? It was interesting. There wasn't a shechit. I mean, it is a shechit. It's a malika. But it's fascinating. They're able to eat the bird even through a malika. Again, we're going to talk about all this. Just keep it in mind. Says the Gemara. Tana Rabbana. Let's analyze this. V'hiza midam achatos, miguf achatos. So the pasuk says, so again, what's interesting about the bird offering, about the bird achatos, is that halacha l'maaseh said there's no kabbalah in a kli. Instead, what's happening over here What's happening over here is that the blood is actually sprinkled from the body of the oath itself. Miguf HaKatos. Hakeit. So I was say, how does this work? Ochiz Barosh Ubaguf. So you hold onto the head and to the body of the bird. Umaza al kir hamizbeach. And ultimately you sprinkle from the blood on the actual wall of the mizbeach. Velo al kir hakevesh. But ultimately, again, not on the wall of the ramp. Velo al kir heichal. Not on the wall of the Beis HaMikdash structure of the building. Velo al kir ulam. Not on the wall of the antechamber. Suppose this, again, what the Gemara is highlighting over here is there's a very specific placement of the blood on the actual wall of the Mizbeach. Ve'ezah, and which part of the wall of the Mizbeach is this done? Zekir tachton, this is the lower part of the wall, which Shabbos again, remember, means under the Chut HaSikra, under the red line. I says the Gemara, O Eina Ella Al Kira Elyon, maybe not, maybe the blood application is done on an upper part of the wall above the Chut HaSikra. The Gemara says, no, Vidinu, it's the Kavachomer, Uma Behema. So when it comes to an animal offering, where the blood application for an ola is done below, and for a chatas is done above, so for an oath, where the blood application is done above, all the more so, ultimately, again, that the chatas blood application should also be done above, therefore the pasuk said that the residual blood will be placed by the base of the Mizbeach. Kier, so place it on a part of the wall. Shasharayim shalom mismatsin liyisod. Place it on a part of the wall where the residual blood ultimately easily flows down to the base. Ve'ezozeh, and what does that, which part of the wall does that refer to? Zeh kirat takton. This refers to the lower part of the wall, meaning below the Chut HaSikra, below the red line. The Gemara says, maybe there's two blood applications. Maybe do one application above the red line and one blood application below. So the Gemara says, Amarava miksiv yamtze. Does the pasuk say yamtze? It shall be placed yimatze, which means Rabbi say it shall like gradually flow down. The memela mashma, that you should place the blood on a part of the wall of the mizbeach that it can easily and just gradually flow down to the base. What does that refer to? The lower part of the wall below the red line. Incredible. So Rav Zuchar Bar Tobi, I both said this is very exciting. So Rav Zuchar Bar Tobi says this house, Amarav, Ketzad Molkin Chatasol. So both say, now watch this. How do we do Malika? So the Gemara says, so now, I'm going to tell you something I don't tell you to do very often, but take a look on the WhatsApp chat. Only for this. Don't check anything else. Right? If you go to the document one, I sent out last night a bunch of pictures. So if you take a look, this is interesting, and it might be a little bit easier to illustrate this with the pictures. So first of all, I put it in here also. There are a couple of pictures of the Trumas Adeshan. So now I want to point out also something interesting, which I want to say at the outset, which is there is a fundamental machlokis about how Malika was done. Was Malika a one-handed process or a two-handed process? Tosis is of the opinion that it was one-handed. That is actually the last image that you have on the chat that I sent you is actually Tosis. Right? The bottom image left hand where you see Malika is being done with one hand, that's Tosis. The majority of opinions actually hold that Halach Lamaisa Malika was a two-handed process. So both say, so that's, again, if you're looking at this image, I thought this is totally unhelpful, right? It's the color image that I put out, and you can see over here what's happening. And also you could see that, well, we're going to go through it now in the Gemara, but you can see how the bird itself was actually out. So let's go through this now in the Gemara. Ochez gapov b'shtei etzbaosav. So first of all, you would take the bird in your hand, and ultimately, again, you would hold its wings in between your two fingers. Now, essentially, what you could see over here is that the wings were positioned between the index finger and the middle finger. So what you would do is you would immobilize the wings. Ushtei raglov b'shtei etzbaosav. And then you would hold, ultimately, again, you would hold the feet of the bird between your pinky and ring finger, right? So you're immobilizing the wings between index and middle finger, and then ultimately, again, holding the feet between, again, ring finger and pinky. Okay? Omosach tzavara al rochav godlo. And then above, so you could see over here, you would bend the bird's head forward using your thumb, between your thumb and your index finger, right? That's the image over here. Umolka. So we'll say, so remember again, this image that I'm showing you, this is not like Tosis, right? And then you would take your other hand, thumbnail, and dumalika. Dumalika. And as we said before, again, by chata sa'ov, because remember, the Mishnah is talking over here about chatos, so you would go ahead and you would sever only one of the simonim, either the esophagus or the windpipe, not both, right? You would sever one of them. Umolka. B'masnisa tana, alternatively, tzifra milabar, v'ochiz gapav b'shtei etzba'osav, u'shtei raglayim b'shtei etzba'osav, u'mosech tzavaro arochav shtei etzba'osav. Now, by the way, if you look, the other image, right, the other image is, there were two different ways, potentially, that you could go ahead and hold the bird. So, for example, if you go ahead and you take a look at the last image, so you can see, again, on both sides, the bird is held a different way, kind of like, but in the first image, the bird is held, we'll call it like in the inside of the hand. In the second image, if you'll notice again, the head is bent back towards the back of the hand. So the point that Gemara is making over here is there's two different positionings for Malika. Umolek. So I'll say, I want to point out something very interesting, just before we even go on. The Rambam Paskins, let me just read this to you. So the Rambam Paskins, the Rambam says, Kesar ochis chatas of bishas Malika. So first of all, the Rambam goes like the first image that we saw, which is again, so we'll say, so really that first image is really, according to the Rambam, the most authoritative one, which is, again, remember, you're holding again, wings immobilized between the index finger and middle finger, feet immobilized between ring finger and pinky, thumb pushing the head forward, right? And therefore, Malika done with your other hand. Now, I want to point out what the Rambam says. V'imshina v'achaz b'chol makom k'sheira. This is actually quite fascinating. The halacha just says, Rabosai, it doesn't actually matter how you hold the bird. As long as Malika was done appropriately, meaning with the thumbnail, back of the neck, severing one of the simonim, you're good to go. So this is very interesting. That's why, again, how you actually end up holding the bird in order to immobilize it and shecht it really is discretionary. As long as it's held, immobilized, and ultimately, again, one of the simanim are severed. And the Gemara says, "V'zu avoda kasha shema mikdash." This was one of the hardest avodas in the Beis HaMikdash. Which I will say, by the way, if you look at this, especially according to Tosis, if this is done with one hand, that is a tremendous amount of dexterity. But the truth is, even if it's done with two hands, it's a tremendous amount of dexterity. That's just a lot going on over here. So therefore, the Gemara says, this was one of the hardest avodas in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, now I should say, it says, v'zu avoda kasha shel HaMikdash. Actually, the Gemara is, this was the hardest avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. To which the Gemara says, really? Va'ika kmitza v'chafina. 1 second, hold up. There's kmitza. Rebbe says, remember again, what's kmitza? Kmitza is right by the mincha. The kohen takes his three middle fingers, right? And he has to go ahead and scoop out. Then what does he have to do? He has to shave off anything extra that's extending with his pinky and with his thumb. Then you say to yourself, that doesn't sound so hard, but it is. Why? Because I will say, what he has to be careful with, especially certain minchas, which had solid matter, when he shaves it off, he has to make sure that he's only shaving off the excess and not removing anything that is lodged within his fingers. There can't be any space within his fingers. So that also requires a tremendous amount of dexterity. Furthermore, there's chafina. Rabbi say, what's chafina? Chafina is on Yom Kippur. Remember again, there was a tremendous amount of balancing that the kohen had to do when he had to take a larger shovel of ketores, empty it into a smaller shovel of ketores, and he can't spill anything. So there's a tremendous amount of balance and dexterity that goes into that as well. So the Gemara says, I understand why seeing Malika is the hardest. Kmitza, chafina, these sound difficult as well. Ela'ima, the Gemara says, you're right. Ela'ima, zu avoda kasha, me avodas kashos shebemikdash. The Gemara says, you're right. We didn't mean to say it's the hardest. Rather, what did we mean to say? It's of the most complicated, right? It's of the hardest avodas done in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not dafka the hardest, but ultimately it's there. Rabbi say, halacha l'maaseh, it turns out that we learned a very important piece of information over here. Number one, by chata sa'ov, Ultimately, again, the halacha was that the animal, the bird itself, was killed by Malika. How was Malika done? Thumbnailed to the back of the neck. The Gemara gives two machlokes rash tosis, and the rest of them are farshim. Malika done with one hand, Malika done with two hands, right? But Lamaisa and Rambam, it doesn't really matter. As long as ultimately, again, the bird is killed from the back of the neck, one of the simanim is severed. Now again, we're going to see about the head and the rest of the body. That's going to be the next Mishnah. And ultimately, again, no Kabbalah done in a separate kli, rather Zrika done directly from the blood of the animal itself, to which the Gemara says this is one of the hardest avodos done in the Beis HaMikdash. So I just want to tell you something absolutely beautiful and amazing. It's interesting. So the Sekhet Shev Rebbe, the Shem Yishmol, says something incredibly beautiful. He says, what is this mean when the Gemara says this was one of the hardest avodas done in the basement? So I want to read to you something absolutely magnificent. He says, listen to this. He says, Machshavos Adam Hema. Listen to this Lashon. Kiyam Nigrash Hashakit Lo Yuchal. The Gemara says, one of the hardest things in life to control are our thoughts. Sometimes a person's thoughts are like a turbulent sea. Ve'ein biyat ha'adam la'atzor ba'adam. And sometimes the hardest thing in life is I can't control what I think. Right? Thoughts pop into my mind and I don't have any control. And most of it is my simcha kol yom, because like stuff happens, I see things, I observe things, I experience things, and thoughts like flood my mind and I can't control what I think. Look at the Rebbe writes. Balam. Yesh koach la'adam limnoa mehem. Melachter el halev ulaharher bahem. You may not have control over what you initially think, but you absolutely have control about what you allow to remain in your heart and what you constantly continue to think about going forward. So in other words, you might not have control over instantaneous thought, the stuff that pops into my head just like randomly. But what I allow to remain in my heart and what I allow to remain in my consciousness, that I absolutely have control over. And says the Rebbe something beautiful. Vihine. It goes over here again. So what happens? We'll say, what happens by the Chatas Ha'of? What do? You do Malika. Rebbe will say, what does Malika represent? Malika is a severing of the head from the body, from the heart. Malika represents the process by which we are able to go ahead and sever, make a distinction between the thoughts that just pop into our head and the things we allow to remain inside of our hearts. Sometimes you can't decide, right? You don't get to choose what just fills your head instantaneously. I feel a lust, a desire, jealousy, right? All these different kinds of things that just pop into my head. Sometimes I really can't control those things. What I absolutely do control is what do I allow to occupy permanent real estate and permanent place in my heart and in my life. Malika is an art form. Sometimes you have to sever the head from the heart. And says the Gemara, that is one of the hardest avodas to do. Not just in the Beis HaMikdash, but ultimately again in life as well. You can't always choose what pops into your head, but you absolutely always have a choice to what occupies permanent space in your heart and in your spiritual consciousness. Not easy, but one of the hardest of all this to accomplish. So we'll stop over here for today. Shkoyach, what a Gemara. More, we're not finished. There's more to this in Yerushalayim Shem tomorrow. Shkoyach, everyone. All right, Chevron Zoom, have a great day, everyone.